This is the Apple This Extra.
Hello and happy new year, and welcome to Apple Viz Extra number 63. This is the 2019 New Year's extravaganza. Hopefully we're not overselling it with that title. We'll do our best. My name is Dave Nason, and I am delighted to be joined by many of the Apple Viz editorial team today. So we'll go alphabetical order. So first up, we've got Mac expert, home automation expert. I'm saying expert, Alex. It's Alex Hall. How are you? Happy New Year, Alex.
Expert is a strong word, but I will take it.
And I hope you had a good Christmas or holiday.
Yeah, quite relaxing. Didn't do a whole lot, but that's sometimes the best way to celebrate is just to chill for a day or two.
Absolutely. Good stuff. Next up, we've got, of course, our Braille expert, Scott Davert. How are you, Scott, and Happy New Year.
Expert? Are you sure you're talking to the right guy?
Well, you know more about Braille than the rest of us put together, Scott.
Happy New Year, Dave. Happy New Year, everybody. Good to be here, back, and doing another year. You know, it was a little over a year ago we did the last one.
Yeah. I was only just getting used to typing 2018 on my keyboard and dates, and now it's 2019.
Yep. I messed it up twice today.
Just keeps on going. Yeah.
April or May, I might have it down.
Yes.
In the new year, you know.
We, of course, have Anonymous, Thomas Domville, our podcast extraordinaire from the Unleashed and many how-to podcasts as well. Thomas, how are you? Happy New Year.
Howdy. Welcome to happy 2019 to you all. I'm with you, Dave. I'm having a hard time remembering to put the little 9 on the end there.
Absolutely. And last but of course not least, another Mac guy and all-round expert on iOS, I think it's fair to say as well. We've got Tyler Stephen. How are you, Tyler? Happy New Year.
I'm good. Happy New Year. One interesting tip about if you think about how to type 2019, just think about your hands on the right side of the keyboard. If your left hand is on the 2, hit the 2, the 0, the 1, and then just move your finger 1 to the right. I find as the years go on through a decade, it's you less hand motion because we just move, you know, one space instead of having to guess, like, say, 2015, 2016, where you have to move your hands to try to guess where. So I feel like as, you know, the years go on in a decade, and then there's less motion because you just move it one space, two spaces, and 2020 will be really easy because just 2-0, 2-0.
2020 is going to be great.
Yeah.
That is hindsight.
Yeah.
Well played, Scott. So we're here today really just to have a look back at 2018, the year that was, especially obviously around Apple, but all things assistive tech to some extent, and look ahead to what we think is going to happen in 2019 or what we want to happen. So I thought we'd start maybe with our own personal highlights from 2019. Do I have any volunteers? 2018, I'm doing it already. Personal highlights from 2018. Who would like to volunteer to go first, or will I have to pick on somebody?
Oh, you're going to pick somebody? Pick crickets.
Thomas spoke up, so Thomas, you're the man.
Okay. These are easy for me. I thought the Twitter defuncting the key features for third party was a big one for me. It impacted the biggest, I thought, in terms of Twitter users out there. I know Scott probably will mention the universal USB Braille drivers for platforms, but
thank you. No, I don't have to.
You don't awesome. Have to, but I thought that was kind of huge. And then lastly, I'm going to point out, and I think it's bigger than people realize. I think that implementing Apple Music on Amazon this year was huge. Mm. I thought it was a big deal to me. So that's my highlights that I thought were kind of big for myself.
Cool. How has the Twitter thing impacted you day to day?
I think it's terrible what they've done. I mean, it really limits on a lot of third party. I feel bad for the third party, especially if, I mean, my gosh, I'm not sure if they're going to be able to sell as many software as they would like without those key functions. I mean, I was just talking with Randy and Mike on our Unleashed shows. It's such a pain in the butt now that I have to have my iPhones propped up next to my computer because just to get the direct message, I have to have that on the actual Twitter app itself so I can get the notification instantly. Where on my TW Blue that I use on my Microsoft side, it delays for 2-3 minutes. And it's just not seamless anymore. And it's almost got to the point where why should I use Twitterific and things like that when they're kind of forcing you to go to Twitter, which I don't like Twitter because I don't like I just don't like the layout. It's not as easy as Twitterific is.
Yeah, I'm the same. I'm still using Twitterific as my primary, but I actually have Twitter signed in as well, so that if I get into DMs or anything, I'm in the Twitter app, you know. And that's obviously where notifications have to come from now as well. So yeah, I agree. It's pretty frustrating. Scott, Thomas stole one of your answers, but you might want to elaborate on it, and you might have something else to bring to the
thanks
table.
Thanks a lot, anonymous answer thief. I feel about that. I think in 2019, you're probably not going to see a whole lot with the USB HID standard. I don't know that everyone's caught up with that. I think it's probably going to be another year or two before we really start seeing any of the things that passed last year or any parts of that standard come into, you know, actual practice. You know, it's great in theory. It'll be interesting to see how it works in practice. For me, one of the 2018 highlights for me personally was when I went back in the fall and I decided, oh, I'm going to watch the keynote in September. And I was having a bad ear day, as they say, where my ears were not functioning as they should. But I was like, well, I'm going to try. I have the day off. I'm going to really try and pay attention to one of these things live. So I went to the Twitter post, the official one. I clicked on it on my iPhone and the video starts playing, but right along with that came captions in Braille. So I didn't need to listen to the audio. I followed it for the first time ever, the whole event, on my Braille display. And that was a really cool thing for me, you know, to have equal access. And I don't have access to the video. I don't have access to the audio, but I can still read it. It's a lot of work to keep up with. If you even, you know, turn away from the Braille display for 5 seconds, you're behind. But you know, it was a really cool thing to have happen. Let's see. One of the other things, in 2018 for me was, the Apple Watch. I thought that was great that was, released. You know, they did a lot of improvements on it. That said, I still find myself going to the dot watch, for just telling time and things like that, but that's kind of off topic, I suppose. Thomas mentioned Apple Music coming to, the Amazon platform. I won't say her name. You're welcome. but I've seen this and heard this a lot. People are canceling their Spotify subscriptions because now they have Apple Music as an option on all the different platforms. So that's, I think, a big thing. It happened toward the end of the year, but you know, it was one of the big things, I think, to come out of 2018.
Yeah, I'd agree, actually. I think that's huge. I don't think it's hit us where I am in Ireland yet, but I assume it will, or else I couldn't get it to work anyway. But yeah, I'm very, very tempted now to cancel Spotify because I have Apple Music there ready to go with, and loads of playlists set up and everything. And yeah, it would be great to have that on the Echo.
Well, you know what's kind of sad about it is that I can say to my A lady device, play blah 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 from Apple Music, but I can't say on my Apple device play blah 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 on Spotify. So come on, guys, step it up, Apple. Let's go.
The same thing. I know the HomePod hasn't. Again, it hasn't reached many countries yet, and maybe we'll come back to that later. But even if it did, I don't think I'd buy one because I can't even get things like TuneIn Radio on it. So. I think the Echo is just more all-encompassing, so I'm more likely to stick with that for, and especially now that it has Apple Music.
I think it's really a I know this is an Apple podcast, but I think it really is a toss-up between the Google Home and the Amazon device, depending on, you know, your use case. For me, who doesn't really thrive in the Google space, you know, the Echo devices are better. But for some people, you know, depending on what they want to do, the Google Home might be better for them. You know, it's a real competition between the two of them. And they're about even, I would say. It's just a matter of, you know, enabling the right skills or doing the right things with the Google Home to make it equal.
Yeah, I think it'll change, though.
I can't speak to Google, though, but like the Amazon, I am really disappointed with the Alexa app. Oh, sorry, I said the word, but I am really disappointed with the app. There's huge accessibility problems.
Yeah, there are.
But I think aside from that, yeah, I think you're dead right, Scott. Tyler, have you got any highlights?
One that I would think of off the top of my head is that in around March of 2018, there was this whole thing, revelations about Facebook and data sharing. And of course, that happened 2 months before GDPR, the General Data Protection Regulation, came into effect. But it really sort of put the spotlight on tech companies' uses of personal data. And with this regulation coming into effect, although it was for users in the European Union, companies expanded the feature to the United States and other markets to maintain consistency across the services. And so, like, now you can download data from, like, your Apple ID account. You can, for the longest time, you could not close your Apple ID like you could other services to close the account. Now you can. And it's just generally a greater public awareness of tech companies and how they use their data and how their business model works. So that's good that more information is out there.
I agree totally. Yeah. As somebody who works for a company in the European Union, I know GDPR was a huge thing in the first half of the year getting ready for GDPR. And I think, yeah, Cambridge Analytica, that whole Facebook scandal, I think people, it's been a really big story of the year around data. I think people are much more aware now of that and of what's happening with our data. But whether people that'll change our behavior or not, is the question.
The people are much more aware. Not only that, but because of the EU laws, now everyone in the world is being, I would say, positively impacted, as long as you're not a business, in ways, you know, that really hopefully are setting the stage for other countries to follow in their footsteps and, you know, step up the privacy laws.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's maybe for a good chunk of the people probably won't change their behavior in a lot of ways, but maybe in some, there's some subtleties that a person might think about when they get a routine looking prompt to allow an app's access to location, microphone, camera, contacts, photos, etc.
Yeah, exactly. To ask yourself, why do they want this? And do I want to give it to them? Yeah, absolutely. And Alex, what have you got for us?
Well, I've been trying to think of 2018 highlights and, you know, Apple or non-Apple. I think the three that really come to mind that I can't help but push to the top of my list have to be her, that lady that we all love so very much. They released the Echo Dot third generation, and we have, I think, three in the house now. They are really great devices, I have to say. They're a little bit bigger than the second generation, but they're not much bigger. But they have a lot of bass. They have really good sound. Honestly, I think they're a little bit bass heavy for me. They don't have, you know, it's not a $150 speaker, but it's $50 and you can usually get it for $25 to $30 on sale. And it's got good sound for that price. It still has the full capabilities of the Echo ecosystem built in and now Apple Music. And Apple Music actually sounds pretty good on it. What the main reason that we stick with Echoes here instead of Google Homes is actually Audible support. I love that I can read Audible books on that little speaker just with my voice. I also recently found out how to use it as a Bluetooth speaker for my phone. So it's just an all around really useful little gadget to have. It's not all that expensive, and the new ones sound wonderful. Now, much more than that, two Apple things for this year. The first one is Marzipan. That was announced in June at the Worldwide Developer Conference, and it's Apple's effort to make it a lot easier for developers to bring iOS apps to the Mac. We saw that with the release of Mojave. We've got now, what is it, Home, Voice Memos, Stocks, and News, I think are the four big ones.
Yep.
Yeah, those are all iOS apps that now run on the Mac. And it's really cool to see, because there are a lot of apps that I think, you know, as I'm sitting at home with my Mac, I don't really want to pull my phone out. I'd like to be able to just do this on the Mac, you know? Interface isn't all that different. It's not that hard. And it would just make sense. So it's awesome to see that. And I'm really excited for this year, 2019, to see where it goes. We're supposed to get a lot more details at this year's Worldwide Developers Conference. So hopefully we'll be able to get a lot more into it and see just how much effort it will or won't be for developers to make it happen. So that's super exciting. And it was awesome to see it last year. It kind of took me by surprise. It's a really great thing. Hopefully, I hope a lot of developers jump on this and it doesn't just kind of fall by the wayside. The other one for me has got to be the Apple Watch Series 4. I wanted one as soon as they announced it. I had the Series 2, and you know, it started running slower and slower, and it still worked, but it was never great. It was never a device I looked forward to using. It was more, oh, this makes things easier. But the Series 4 has no buts, though. It's just, it makes things easier. It's fast. It's really responsive. It's got good volume. It does what I want it to do. And it even has, you know, advanced features like the better health sensors and the EKG function, which I know is US only at the moment, but hopefully that'll come to more countries as they're able to do that. I've always liked the concept of the Apple Watch, and I feel like this Series 4 is finally the culmination of all their efforts. It's what it should have been from the start. It's not really should have been, because they had to start somewhere, but it's what they were aiming for from the start, I guess. You know, it feels as fast as a phone most of the time, and it just all around works beautifully, and it's what I always hoped the Apple Watch would be. So big highlights for me have to be Echo Dot, Series 3, as odd as it sounds to say on this podcast, Marzipan, and the Series 4 Apple Watch. And by far the top of that list has got to be the Apple Watch.
I think myself and Scott were in the same position of having the original Apple Watch before and upgrading to the Series 4. So it's like another universe. It is.
Yeah.
It's so fast now. I still have one or two little niggles with the watch, one or two things I don't like, but on the whole, I think it's, you're right. It's what they were aiming for.
Even showering with the Apple Watch was kind of weird at first. I'm like, well, should I really do this? I mean, it's just, you don't do that, right? You don't shower with electronics.
Yeah.
It's funny. A lot of people.
That took a little adjusting. Yeah.
A lot of people, it's like this sort of instinctive reflex. It's almost like every time I get into a pool or a hot tub, I just reflexively feel my bathing suit pockets.
Yeah, same. Make sure my phone's not there somehow.
It's kind of like, when you purposely, it's like go in the water and swim with my electronic devices. It's still a relatively new concept to be able to do that, and I have it actually be advertised by the company.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. And Alex, on the Marzipan thing, you obviously have used some of those apps. You've used the Home app and so on, voice recording and so on. What do you make of them? How does the interface work?
It's kind of funny, actually. I mean, most of the interface elements are what you'd expect, you know, buttons, text fields, whatever. But you can really feel the iOS in them. On macOS right now, there's no, when you VO space on something, there's not really an activation tone like you have on iOS when you double tap. But in Marzipan apps, that tone is there. When you VO space, you get that little click sound. Yeah. And it'll say things like, you know, text field, double tap to edit.
Okay.
Not VO space to edit. And of course, you don't have to do anything to edit, but it still has that hint there. So you can just kind of feel little hints of iOS here and there, which is kind of cool. And you know, those will be worked out as time goes on, I'm sure. But overall, it's they're pretty good. You know, they come over pretty well. Usually where you have tabs on iOS, you'll have a toolbar. Makes sense. And then you've got headings that you can still navigate by, and there are drop-down menus. So it feels like a Mac app. There are hints of iOS, but for the most part, you wouldn't really be able to tell. You know, if you didn't have an iOS device, you wouldn't really know any difference. It feels like a Mac app, maybe a little bit simpler than some. You know, you don't have a ton of keyboard shortcuts here and there, and some of the interface design choices are a touch odd. But again, this is generation almost zero, really. It's not even out for developers yet. So it'll be really cool to see what happens in the next iteration.
Definitely, yeah. And that should come down.
Especially because, at least my understanding of it, is that it doesn't have access to the full file system. It runs on a little layer on top. So it doesn't have the same access that a traditional Mac app would have. But if they can expand it and maybe consolidate it, then it can take full advantage of all that it would have to offer, all that the Mac would have to offer, and all that the potential that iOS apps have.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So there are personal highlights. I can't really add anything. There's a few of those were ones that I would have talked about. Would have been Apple Watch, the data protection, that kind of stuff. So it was a pretty busy year in Apple, actually, in terms of new products. So we had like HomePod at the start of the year. Then we had the new 9.7-inch iPad with pencil support at the education event. We had, obviously, the new iOS and macOS at WWDC, and new MacBook Pros got a... Well, the MacBook Pro got a bit of a speed bump, I think. We had, obviously, the new iPhone, including the... XS Max added, as well as the XS and the XR. We had the watch, which we've talked about, and then we had the iPad Pros at the end of the year, and the new MacBook Air and a new Mac Mini. So huge number of new products, actually, when you think about it, all through the year. Thomas, does anything stand out from Apple's year in terms of new hardware?
Well, I think that everybody hit it. I mean, if you listen to what everybody had to say, everybody mentioned one thing, and then we all have a common denominator, and that is the Apple Watch Series 4. I mean, I have to say that was the biggest stunner in terms of actual big update. I think that's the biggest one, hands down. Now, I thought the XR was a close second only because this is the new phase in where people really don't want to go, and that is removing the home button and going with total Face ID. So that was a huge jump. So I thought those two were the biggest. Unfortunately, I think the HomePod was a flop. That's just my thought. And I was disappointed with the MacBook Air in terms of cost and speed. So those are the three that I was thinking for myself.
Yeah. Alex, what do you reckon
the year? Again, well, Thomas pretty much said all of my words. The HomePod I was really excited about before it launched, and then as I read more and more reviews, and everyone's like, you know, Siri can't. Yeah, never mind. No HomePod for me. I find it funny, by the way, that for like the last two or three months, you've been able to get a HomePod for $250. Pretty much all the time, you know. There are a lot of sales there, and I don't know if that's indicative of anything or not, but it's kind of odd for an Apple product to be on sale so often like that. The iPads don't, you know, whatever. I don't use the iPad much. I don't really care about Apple Pencil, so the new 9.7s didn't impress me. I was impressed with the new Pros simply because of their edge-to-edge displays, their new designs, and their speed. You know, a lot of benchmarks were actually putting them faster than a lot of MacBooks and MacBook Pros that are out there. So that was cool. And it'll be kind of neat to see where they go in the future as Apple pushes them more as computer replacements. But yeah, they were cool. They were fine. Not something I'd go out and get. The MacBook Air really annoys me still. And I know I talked about this.
I remember this.
Before, yeah. So I won't rehash it here, but you're basically having a Intel's U-series processors, which are lower powered, lower heat, you know, what can you do with a really thin MacBook? You got to go that way, but they charge so much for it. It's even more than the normal Apple tax, and it still just is so grating that they start at 128 gigs of storage for everything. They should start at 256. It's 2019 now. It was 2018 last year. Get with the times, get over it, and just eat the little tiny bit of extra cost for Apple that it would actually be, and give people good value. And I see this now, you know, other Windows laptops and Ultrabooks are coming out offering 128, and I blame Apple. They should all offer 256 at least.
Yeah, if you look at the price of the Microsoft Surface, it's in this
exactly. I mean, the Surface does start at 128, I believe. I haven't looked at it lately.
Yeah, it's kind of like when, you know, when iOS devices would give like 16 gigabytes, 32 gigabytes, like those really, and these companies, they're very, very slow to put storage upgrades as standard. Like I have a 500 gig MacBook Air, because I probably couldn't live with 128.
Yeah, I lived with a 64 gig Air for a while. That was not fun. And honestly, when 2018 started, I truly thought it would be the year that they bumped up the base storage again, because they'd done it before, and they'd done it with, I think, the iPads or iPhones the year or two before. Mm-hmm. I was sure that the MacBooks would all get bumped to 256 base. Hopefully 2019 we'll finally see that, maybe. But the iPhones, I think we're now starting to see, as all the financial stuff comes out right after the turn of the year, I think they're going to have to start adjusting their prices a bit. And they're blaming it all on China, and I don't know enough to say whether that's true or not. But when they release a new phone that is well over $1,000 after doing a $1,000 phone the previous year, I mean, at some point the market's going to say, hey, no, I don't think so.
Not have to accept lower margins then, I guess. Like, I was watching Rene Ritchie video earlier today from iMore, and he said they're not charging more for their iPhones so much as they're making more expensive iPhones. So they're not choosing to put their prices up. They're just, you know, the prices, you know, at their end as well are going up. But
you're
right. They're hitting a point now where people are like, nah.
It's crazy money. And it's you're buying a computer. Like, you don't buy a new computer every year. So at some point, my family and I were talking about this earlier, and I think my mother was saying, you know, at some point everyone's going to realize, I don't buy computers every year. I'm not buying a phone every year, every 2 years. They cost just as much as each other. So same upgrade cycle. I'm keeping this thing for 5 years. And I got
to
say,
a lot to actually make with iOS 12. They made it a lot to make older devices actually last longer.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's where I was going was, you know, iOS 12. I was reading articles about how the 5S and the SE are actually sped up and nothing is slowed down and people are happier with older devices because iOS 12 is so good on them. So, you know, kudos to Apple for that. They are really taking care of their older devices. They're supporting them as long as they can. And that's awesome to see.
Yeah. They also bit themselves in the hand doing that too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Tim, they definitely did.
They have 100 million more iPhones in the install base now than they did 12 months ago. Jeez. So people are kind of handing them down and buying new ones and so on as well. So, yeah, you know.
Should we change the name of the MacBook Air to the MacBook Error?
So that's your highlight, is it, of Apple's year, is it, Scott?
I mean, I pretty much said everything I had to say about it back in, was it September we did that? I don't remember. Whenever. No. It was when the education event happened. I mean, yeah, I don't have a whole lot to add other than we should rename it Air to what Alex said. I mean, but I guess it's really not that surprising. I mean, how long did they stick with the 16 gig model? So they're kind of behind the times where that's concerned. On the other hand, from their point of view, well, you don't need all that storage. You can buy it on iCloud. Huh. And, you know, when you can't make up the difference in hardware, you have to make it up in some kind of services. And I think, we'll get to that with the 2019 predictions, but yeah. I have something to say about that.
I would need them to bring out some sort of equivalent to the iCloud Music match for movies, because I've got hundreds of DVDs ripped that they're sitting in my iTunes library.
that would be cool.
Need a big hard drive. So, Tyler, did you what did you think of Apple's hardware this year?
I don't have a whole lot to add other than what the people, what you guys have said. I think as far as this new financial guidance about lower than expected iPhone upgrades, I think there comes a point where the market gets just so saturated with iPhones and smartphones of various generations that really in the past years haven't changed a whole lot. I've not been as revolutionary as, say, back when the iPhone first came out. It's been over 10 years now. The market is populated with enough iPhones and Android phones, and that can do more and are more expensive, and thus people are upgrading less. And also there's the question of secondhand devices, people who might upgrade more often but can get a good deal on a secondhand device. It's less activations of newer phones. I think that will cause Apple and probably other companies in the space to change their calculations when people aren't upgrading their phones as much. And according to, I believe Tim Cook said this in his memo, that the carrier, there are less carrier subsidies, and that's, and thus people aren't spending the same kind of money.
Yeah. What do you see?
And that's to say nothing, of course, of the macroeconomic factors like China and trade tensions and all that, which I don't know enough about to really comment on.
Yeah. I think, like, I wouldn't deny that it's a big story, but I think it's possibly being a little overblown at the same time. They've had like huge quarter still, you know, just the $84 billion of revenue.
And the only other thought that I have is just the idea with the MacBook, and maybe I'll get more on this when we talk about 2019 predictions, but the fact that the MacBook Air, $1,199, a MacBook, $1,299, that's really confusing. I think they should either discontinue the MacBook or find some way to differentiate it and maybe bring the price down, considering that the MacBook Air is all around more powerful than the MacBook. The only thing the MacBook really has going over the Air at this point is the slimmer body. And yet it's $100 more.
Right. Just the same comparison. There's the, for, is it only $100 more as well to go to the MacBook Pro 13 inch without the touch bar?
Yes, I think so.
Which is probably a better buy. Yeah. So, I'd agree with you guys. I think the watch probably was a standout one. I'm really interested in the XR. And that it was almost exactly the same phone as the XS, except with a lower resolution screen, which doesn't bother me particularly, and a single camera instead of two, which doesn't bother me particularly. So I think
what did surprise me a bit about the XR was actually the colors, and I know none of us here care, but the last time they did colors was what, the SE, was it?
Yeah, I think SC. Well,
no,
the C.
5C.
Oh, the C, that's right, the 5C. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that shocked me. Metal phone, but still different colors. Like I did not see that coming at all. No pun intended.
Yeah. Why can't they give us a few colors in the higher, in the other ones? I don't know. But because I think people want them. Like I think people like to have a few color options. There's stories around of a lot of people, you know, almost going to the XR because of the color options, you know.
I mean, I can't even see my stuff, and I have a multicolor watch band, and I switch it out for a different color one every so often, and I wouldn't mind having a blue phone. So I don't know, maybe I'm weird, maybe I'm a weird blind guy, but I like to have the color option.
I really want a blue phone. It's crazy. So I think that's Apple's hardware. It was a busy year, and I think there's some definitely cool products and big upgrades, and then there's definitely some stuff where we would have a few quibbles, but that's always going to be the way. Apps. Does anyone, Scott, do you have a favorite app or apps from the last year? Not necessarily brand new. They might've been just updated or.
Favorite app. I mean, I don't know. I don't really have a new favorite, you know, like I use Be My Eyes for a lot of things. It really helps out. email, unfortunately, is like the worst thing ever, but the best thing ever, because I get so many of them all the time. So, you know, there is the mail app. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, there was really nothing in 2018 where I went, wow, this is new and this is awesome and I love it. I mean, there's apps I use and, you know, they're great, but nothing really of consequence in 2018 for me, unfortunately. Okay. I'm interested to hear what the others say. Maybe you can teach me what I missed.
Well, for me, if I may interject there, I suppose the one would be FlickType actually stood out to me because it came this year. It was kind of flexi come back, but this time works as an integrated keyboard and all that kind of stuff. And I use that now every single day of the week. And I think, it just speeds up my typing massively. Now, I'm not a Braille user, so I don't have a Braille display or anything like that linked to my device. So this is how I type, and I think it's great. Thomas, do you have any favorites?
I think my two most favorite are brand new this year. Of course, we have a lot of ones that we love of our favorite for previous years, but I say the new Siri shortcuts are definitely one of my top favorite. I use it for like my tile. I just love the ability that you can just ask Siri to implement these certain things that are tied into apps. I love that a lot. And I say the second thing I use the most, and it goes on my watch, a lot of people already know, which is Chirp for Twitter. I just put my earbuds in, and then I can just kind of go through my Twitter timeline. I really, really love that a lot. And it's just so simple, and it works on a watch. I don't have to pull out the phone. It's beautiful. So those are my top two.
Yeah, I like shortcuts, but I'm kind of looking forward to it getting more apps integrated. At the moment, I kind of feel like there isn't
definitely
enough there for me to really need to
do it. Just open up just a little bit more, and it'll be even more beautiful. I mean, Mike, for goodness sakes, even the Google Assistant, you can use that with it. Where I got it to, where I just hold down the button, and I'll say, "Hey, Google," and then all of a sudden you hear this chime. And you say, what's the weather like? And it actually opens up Google and you can hear the Google Assistant instead. So I think it's fantastic. I think this is the right direction. I hope they expand on it.
Yeah, definitely. Tyler, any apps that were really important to you this year?
Well, I think my favorite app in general is still Seeing AI. I use that a lot. I like Be My Eyes got an update, I think this year, where you can use Siri. You can say, make a Be My Eyes call. And that's hugely convenient, so that I used to have to open Be My Eyes and hit, you know, call first available volunteer, which isn't the hardest thing in the world. But it's not as easy as just telling Siri to do it.
Exactly.
So
yeah, very cool. Yeah, that kind
especially
of
if I'm not using my phone immediately, like, so I don't have to, you know, unlock my phone and find the app. Like, say, if I'm just looking for something on the thermostat or something.
Yeah.
That's a very helpful feature.
No, it ties into what Thomas was saying about shortcuts, that, you know, being able to just say these things now to get things done.
Yeah, so I don't think the Be My Eyes, I don't think it's a shortcut. I think it's the API introduced with iOS 10.
It's equivalent to it, though. Same end result. How about you, Alex?
Well, I'm trying to think, and I've got apps that I use a lot, but none of them are new in 2018, I don't believe. Seeing AI, of course, I use a lot. I love that app. But everyone, you know, uses it. I won't really go on about that one.
That is great.
I do have to agree with Thomas, though. Chirp is really cool. I started using that. I kind of missed the boat for a while. I think I started using it in October or November, maybe. But I really like it. I don't use it every day since I have my phone a lot. But for times when I don't have my phone right with me, you know, if I'm just waiting for whatever I'm waiting for, or I'm bored, or for whatever reason the phone's not convenient at the moment, I just pop open Chirp and I can check my tweets that way. It's really nice. I definitely happily paid for the full version so I could post from it and everything. And it's just an awesome little app that does what it does really easily and efficiently. Love it. I think the other one that is going to be big that I was excited to see in 2018 was definitely the Siri Shortcuts integrations. And as others have said, the Shortcuts app, if you're not used to thinking in terms of like how code works, it can be kind of daunting and confusing. Even that said, you know, I do IT, I do coding every day for my job, and I haven't really made any shortcuts. I haven't really gotten a whole lot that I could script, I don't think. A lot of the stuff that I want to happen automatically is home automation, and you can already do that through the home app, so I haven't really had to make those.
Yeah.
We've made a couple, but for the most part, I just haven't really encountered situations where it would be extremely useful and useful enough for me to take the time to go through and actually create that. The thing that I'm looking forward to, though, is as it moves forward, and I hope it does, I hope it doesn't kind of fall off the way some of Apple's other efforts have. But as Thomas mentioned, you know, being able to say, where's my wallet? Or whatever it is, using Tile integration is really neat. And we just actually started using Tiles here in the house recently. Got a good deal on some, and they're fun to play with. They're really cool. So hooking more Siri things into apps that we use or real-world things is going to be neat. I know Overcast is now able to let you use Siri to play different playlists or podcasts, which is nice. Since Siri has never been able to do a whole lot with podcasts, you have to now set it up initially. But once you have that done, you know, you can say, play my comedy playlist or play my news playlist, and Overcast will do it. So some really cool things there that do make life easier. And I'm also very excited to see where it goes moving forward.
Yeah, I've played a little with shortcuts. Like even something simple, like I would set two alarms in the morning, say 7 a.m. and 10 past 7, and I would turn Do Not Disturb till I leave this location. So I have all of them now in one action, you know, things, little kind of things like that in one Siri command. But yeah, I definitely am looking forward to more from shortcuts.
Yeah.
Chirp, I have to take a look at. I don't know, in a way I kind of think, is it comfortable to kind of hold your watch out and read Twitter? But
no, it's, you kind of get used to it. I tend to put my wrist against my body so that it's not, you know, I'm supporting a little bit more that way. You know, I don't use it for more than a couple minutes at a time, but it's definitely doable.
Yeah, I suppose it's a handy extra, I suppose.
Cool.
I think that's 2018 put to bed, and now we can start looking ahead to 2019, although we've dabbled in that already. But maybe look at some predictions and wish lists for the year ahead and the couple of years ahead, probably realistically. But what do we want to see from Apple and, you know, related companies, shall we say, and what do we expect to see? Scott, have you got anything for us?
I predict that there will be no 5G iPhone in 2019. I further predict that 5G will be a major challenge at first, and that it's not quite going to live up to the hype.
I think that's a very safe prediction.
Yeah.
Very safe bet.
Yeah. It'll take a few years to roll out. Let's
Well, I mean, you know, the thing with 5G is that it operates at such high frequencies. There is no way, other than in a huge area like New York City or the Bay Area or something like that, or London, or, you know, any of these really huge areas, where there's going to be enough to really make it a success. And, you know, really, other than Samsung, I don't know anybody that's working on a 5G phone at this moment. I mean, you know, carriers are talking about deploying it here in the U.S. and I guess some of the European countries now as well. But we're not ready, you know. So I think that 5G doesn't come to the iPhone this year. This year now, 2019. Maybe next year. I will further predict that tech stocks are going to plunge if the trade war continues. That's pretty safe, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
a lot of companies are going to be in a lot of trouble. I know that iPhones are a lot of times assembled in different countries, but, you know, all the parts are coming from the same area of the world, and it is not North America. It is not Europe. It's Asia. Right. So that if this trade war stuff continues, We're going to be seeing some troubling times, I think, in the tech industry in terms of prices. And one that I hope and I think may happen is Apple brings back Touch ID.
Well, there's rumors that Samsung are bringing it back in, or are going to have it underneath the screen in the S10. So,
who knows? So, well,
they have patents for the Touch ID under the glass already. Mm. I mean, you know, who knows how far along in the development cycle it is. But, you know, you look at products, again, I'll mention Samsung. You know, the newer S9s, they have Face ID, Iris ID, and yes, fingerprints. So obviously that one, I think, will come back. I don't think we're going to see a headphone jack return, but I do think Touch ID comes back.
So Scott, let me ask you this then. Do you think that's more likely than Apple doubling down on Face ID, given how much press they've given it over the last couple of years, and saying, well, because Android's doing it this way, we're going to stick to Face ID and that's it. And that's how we differentiate.
There's no way they're going to get rid of Face ID. I think if
they won't get rid of it,
they won't get rid of Face ID,
and if it's both, it might be a case where you can set that both are required or that just one or the other are required. I suppose that's what you'd be hoping.
I hope so. I guess I can get rid of it.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Alex.
I guess I can just see Apple being that kind of company that says, well, everyone else is starting to do it this other way, so we're going to pull an Apple and we're going to just keep doing it this new way that we invented. And we have the best face recognition. Well, you know, in fairness, they do have the best face recognition in the industry right now. And they're going to call it good enough. And they're, you know, everyone else kept the headphone jack for a while. They didn't bring it back. There are other trends I can think of that other companies have continued to use after they ditched them. And it's just kind of an Apple thing. And I hope desperately that I'm wrong because I do love Touch ID. And I haven't used Face ID yet at all.
I have to say, though, I didn't like Face ID for the first year, but it's grown on me like as it's improved, basically. It's got faster and more responsive, and it doesn't kind of bother me anymore.
Well, how long did it take for them to finally say, okay, fine, we're going to open up Apple Music?
Yeah.
True. Or Siri.
Apple will always say no until it suits them to say yes to anything, you know. So, how about you? Maybe the USB then? USB-C? Do we think that will replace Lightning? Or
I do.
Yeah.
Well, only on the premium ends, not the low end. It's going to be. That's one of my predictions. Is that they're in quite a conundrum right now, and I get what you guys are all saying. They want to stick with the Face ID and all, but there's a lot of people that aren't wanting to go up because of that Face ID. So I think they are going to be forced to use Face ID and inline Touch ID. And the USB-C, I think that's just writing was on the wall when it came out on the iPad Pro. I predicted that because they did on that, I think that's going to be on the top line. So those that with the like the XS and XS Max will get it, but not the 10R folks.
Do you think? I think they'd go all in if they're going to go for it. I think it would take a couple of years for it to filter through because they sell the older devices, but I'd be surprised if they released one new device with it on it. I think all new devices would have it personally.
Well, and you know, they have reversed course 3D touch.
Mm-hmm. True. That's true. They did get rid of that more or less.
Do we think that's disappearing? Is that... Was the XR the opening kind of credits or the closing credits, shall we say, to 3D Touch? Is it on the way out?
It's hard to say.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I personally don't care. I mean, if I'm going to be completely honest, I really don't think that it's worth even including the components. I mean, you know, they don't talk about it anymore. They don't, you know, nothing.
Yeah.
I really don't.
People don't use it, do they?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just agreeing with you. Really, people don't use it so much, you know. I use it for one reason, and that's in that flick type keyboard. They've implemented it really nicely where it's, you just press in to switch between uppercase and lowercase. and it works really nicely. Something that I'm surprised Apple never did themselves on their own keyboard, actually. But aside from that, I couldn't care less if 3D Touch.
Me neither.
I also predict that 2019 ends on December 31st. Thank you.
That's a really? Bold prediction. I don't know about that.
Tyler, do you have any predictions or hopes?
Well, I think this year will definitely be the year of Apple's continuing services growth. They will probably release their streaming service. They got a bunch of shows planned, you know, with some big names in the entertainment world. I don't know how successful that will be initially, at least. But it seems like they're putting a lot into it. So I guess they just better hope that it works out for them. But it's a big space between Apple now into it and Netflix, Hulu,
Amazon are massive in it now.
I think that they will probably discontinue the MacBook. And if not, I would hope that they would discontinue the MacBook. As I said earlier, I think that the iPhone will go to USB-C. I think if they introduce it on one iPhone model this year, they should put it on all, just so that, you know, they introduce an update to the XS or the XS Max and it has USB-C, and then they introduce another update, say to the XR, which is a similar form factor but lower cost. But then if they put a different charger with that one versus the other ones, mm-hmm. that could be confusing, particularly in addition to sort of salt in the wound of a charger transition like what we had in 2012 when they went from 30-pin to Lightning. So I saw a report today, and from an analyst I haven't heard of, so I don't know how credible they are or their track record. That said, that the iPhones this year would go to USB-C, Touch ID underneath the display, and a smaller notch for Face ID. If that's the case, then the Touch ID patent is farther along than I would have expected. But I still have an iPhone 7 with Touch ID, and I love Touch ID. So if that's the case, I would love for them to keep Touch ID so I don't have to deal with Face ID. Either that,
it's not so bad,
or they would improve. I've heard also that they're still looking for ways to improve Face ID in different orientations of the phone.
Well, they've done that on the iPad, so it's probably pretty far along.
So that's pretty much my prediction. The only other thing is that if they feel the heat enough to expand the abilities of the HomePod, which I think if they want to be relevant in the smart speaker industry, they seriously will need to, especially as it relates to their continued services growth, which I know is a major goal for them, to say add competing music services to the HomePod to make it more competitive, and obviously continuing to improve the AI of Siri. I saw that Siri's questions and answers abilities have improved somewhat since the HomePod's February launch, but there's still a ways to go, particularly in compared to Google, definitely. Which compared to all of them, eats them for lunch, because Google is Google and they're years ahead of their competition, I believe.
Oh, yeah, totally. And the big question on iPhone, guys, is what are they going to call it?
11.
Is that 1.1 or is that XI though, Thomas?
Yes, the XI.
I predict it'll be iPhone 11.
Do you reckon? Yeah, they've kind of painted themselves into a difficult corner, I think, on the name.
Oh, no doubt. I think this is the only way they're going to get themselves out. I think they did it just for the special 10th anniversary. I think that's why they went with that.
Yeah.
And, that's what I thought, but then when they needed the XR and the XS, I was like, oh, maybe not, because now it's the next year and they're still using that one. So I'm not sure anymore.
And now the X kind of differentiates the ones with Face ID edge to edge from the ones that don't have that. And
true.
X is, and that's my X phone.
Thomas, do you have any other predictions apart from?
Well, you guys hit a lot of them. I'm pretty certain that we will definitely see we will definitely get the video streaming services, new services. So the services is going to be the thing you're going to hear this year. They're going to push services out of the yin yang. And I think the iCloud is going to be a big push. And along with that, obviously, we will definitely get iOS 13. I think there will be some major change in iOS 13 in terms of iOS. And I agree with Alex in his earlier prediction with Marzipan. I think it's going to blow up. I think it's going to go like big time. So I think they're going to dump some stuff at the WWDC on Marzipan to expand that. I think that is the direction. I think the new Mac OS that will come out will support it better, give it more APIs and things like that. So that's my prediction on that. AirPod 2, I do think they're going to have some sort of an upgrade to the AirPods this year. It's been 2 years. Yeah. And even though we're still selling off the shelves, I think it's time to boost that up because they're starting to get a lot of competition this year. Everybody's getting into that wireless earbud things, and I think you're going to see Google come into it. The Android is going to have their own version. A lot of people are going to be jumping into that market because they had no idea how huge of a deal this was. So I think they have no choice but to go with an upgrade to stay ahead of the curve. My wish list, these are the things that I'm not sure it will come, but I hope it does. And I hope that they come out with a studio quality Apple around the ear headphones. We're talking not Beats, but their own Apple official. A lot of rumbles has been rumors to have a headphones that'll be about $400.
Yeah. With the AirPod type connectivity, they say as well.
I think it'll be paired with each other. And I think this, the other one I really hope, and I think the HomePod flopped. Just why? Because it was just so freaking expensive. Yeah. Even though it was great sounds and all, but when you got Echoes and Echo Dot being $24 to $40, it's just ludicrous. And they're missing the market. So I really hope that they come out with a HomePod Mini that will be about $150 range. And
there has to be more capable as well, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, they really need to work on that. So they're going to have to like Alex was saying, they're going to have to diversify themselves with other Spotify and Pandora. And they really got to, because nobody's going to use it if it doesn't do anything but Apple stuff. So we'll see on that. And my last one, obviously, and we already talked about it, we touched on it, is the iPhones. Now, if they want to do themselves a favor, I agree with you all. I think all the phones will go USB-C. I really do think that. There's no doubt. But I really think if they want to outperform and really boost the sales, I really think the Touch ID is going to bring back those people that want it. I don't know if it'll be on all three devices. Something's got to differentiate the high end to the low end. So I get that the low end doesn't have as good a resolution. I think the screen will stay the same. But the inline touch, I can see it happening just simply because there's been a lot of backlash on it. And two, it would double up the security. I mean, a lot of people had fear that somebody will steal their phone and just face it towards you and it's unlocked. Well, now you got two secure, and it would be cool to have a Face ID seize you. And as you touch the screen or to flick up to unlock it, that will be your Touch ID automatically. So there's nothing, there's no special area. You just slide up and boom, it does both at the same time.
Yeah, and it could do that maybe to unlock, but then maybe once you just say you're using one password or something, maybe it only requires one of them once you're in the
phone. Right, you know, right. So. And that would be ideal, but I just not 100% sure they would do it this year. But they definitely will. We obviously know they'll increase the speed and little things like that. I think they may boost the camera again. I mean, they're really big on that camera stuff. And some people are talking about three cameras now on the on the Mac. Jeez. On the Macs. I did not know that. And maybe I'm just naive, but I didn't realize the two that we have now is for 1X, and the other one is for like a Zoom 2X.
Yeah, so the back facing, you've got the standard and one, so, and the telephoto. A lot of some people want the opposite to that. They want a wide angle as a third camera.
Well, a lot of people told me that their vision, they said, you know, I like the 1X and 2X if you use it just that. Now, if you try to increase it more, then it becomes more pixelated and gets more digitally looking. And a lot of people complain about some of that. So I think the 3X, not a out thing, but, and I hope they really boost the low light deal where Google has it, where it's almost nearly infrared almost. Not for infrared, but like night vision. That would be cool. But that's my prediction.
Cool. I'm glad you mentioned software, Thomas, actually, because I think iOS 13 has to be big.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think...
It's got to be different. It's got to be major.
On two fronts. I think on iPhone, I think iOS has gone a bit stale now. It's been basically the same grid of icons, too many icons.
Yeah, there's something new. New that would be like, oh my gosh, that people would be so excited. Remember how we used to be on these beta and everybody's just dying to try it? You know, we got none of that the past two betas.
Yeah. It's so, one thing, like, even now, I prefer, it's probably the only thing really, but I prefer about Android is their launcher, as they call it, on that, their home screen setup. It's so much more flexible. You don't have to have all the icons. You can just have a folder with the A to Z and then have the icons that you want. It's more like a Mac almost, you know what I mean, in how you deal with apps. I really think it needs it overall. And I think on iPad, they've created amazing hardware with the iPad Pro this year. Everyone is raving about it, but it's still got iOS on it. It's still a mobile operating system. You can't do, maybe if you are an artist, but anyone else I don't think can do real work on that thing yet because it's the software is so restricted. So I think they need to get a more desktop level operating system onto that iPad really.
They definitely have to meet the pro hardware with some pro software.
Yeah.
Because that's how they're really, if they're going to talk about computer replacements, that's how they're going to do it.
Even the web browser is a mobile web browser, you know, it's kind of crazy. And the AirPods, I think you're right. I think I still say they're probably one of my favorite products that Apple have released in several years. I think they're absolutely amazing, but yeah, they're probably due an update. Just people want things like waterproof and the wireless charging case, and I would like color options again as well, but I don't know if they'll do that because the white is kind of a signature thing for Apple with headphones. But
yeah, but at the same time, colors would be nice. When I first started wearing my AirPods around work, I had several people tease me about having too much earwax. So,
well, at least it's Apple earwax, I guess. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. It was expensive.
Hey, man, that's premium earwax.
Exactly.
Ear OS.
Airwax.
Oh, do we see air power?
Oh, good God.
That is a failure. Never going to show up.
I think it will in some form eventually. Like, it wouldn't shock me if in the fall of 2019 they finally bring it out. But I don't think it's going to be right away. I don't think it's going to be in April, you know, with their first round of launches, or February even, because they've been reducing their mentions of it on their website. You know, they're kind of taking it out of the spotlight. So I think they've hit some major snags, and they're going to have a longer launch window than they, or sorry, a further away launch window than they thought they were going to at first, which is obvious right now, of course, because it hasn't come out yet. But I really don't think we're going to see it before the fall, if at all, this year.
Can I make one more prediction? Go for it. This one's way out there, but I don't think it's totally out of the realm of possibilities. Apple does everything and says everything's on schedule. And then due to trade wars and things like that, the iPhones don't get released on release day.
Ooh, that'd be interesting.
Wouldn't that be something?
That would be, I think that would be, they would just cut their throat by doing that.
Well, they released the iPhone 10 late last year, but they did at least have the 8 to, in 2017, they did have the 8 yeah. to release it.
Was the 10R late this year?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Apple would just plummet if they didn't release a new one. That would be devastating to them.
And actually, I hope that doesn't happen. But
no.
Yeah.
Something else I want from AirPods, actually. I don't know if other people who have watches and AirPods would agree, but I want an easier way to switch
yes.
the volume, the audio between my watch and my yes. phone.
You know what's especially annoying, on the Series 4 at least, if you're listening to something on your phone through AirPods, and you use Siri, if you've paused the audio from the iPhone sometimes, but not always, because that'd be too easy, Siri on your watch will go to your AirPods. And then to get audio back on your phone, you have to take out your phone, wake it up, and do the two-finger double tap. Otherwise, the audio will continue from your watch. But then, after your watch has been silent for a random amount of time, audio goes back to coming from your phone. So I don't know what the deal is, and I really hope they would fix that.
Just give us a gesture, a top gesture on the
something
AirPod, yeah. you know, that you can just go switch
and or just tell the watch cycle. Never take the audio to here unless I tell you to, like, just leave it alone. That'd be good too.
Well, like, I want, when I'm out and about, to be able to just tap my AirPod in some way and just quickly look at my watch and then tap it and it'll go back to my phone.
That would be awesome.
That's what I would love. Like, I also want better settings for changing the volume, better way to change volume of the watch, because I find,
you know what, does it's volume is okay for me. I've gotten used to using the crown or the buttons on the phone. What annoys me to no end is you've got four possible gestures for the AirPods, right? Play, pause, Siri, skip back, skip forward. You've got two AirPods. And right now, you can only double tap each one. If they allow triple taps, you could cover all four commands, no problem. Yeah. But right now, you've got to choose two that you don't want to have assigned. And it just makes no sense.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And when I mean volume, I actually mean voice. I should have said voice over volume. I don't like that gesture at all. So, because I go, you know, I'm in the office. I want it in one place. When I'm out in the street or in the canteen at work, I need a different volume to even be able to hear the thing. So, if I could have four presets or something that I could easily swap between, you know, something like that. But
cool.
These are little things, I know. Alex, I was just going to ask you, do you have any other thoughts?
Yeah. I have actually a bonus 2018 highlight that I totally forgot about. Mm-hmm. And that would be the eSIM inside the iPhone XS, XR, whatever you want to call them. So finally, now you can actually have a SIM card from your carrier and an eSIM, which is basically a hardwired SIM simulated SIM card that's built into the phone, which allows you to have two phone numbers. A few years ago, I was self-employed, and it would have been really great to have my regular phone number and my business phone number on the same phone. And I'm not the only one. You know, a lot of people want that for business purposes or for, you know, whatever it is, if they travel a lot. You can have one international, one normal. So there's a lot of reasons for it. And I was really surprised. I didn't see eSIM coming at all. But finally, you can have two SIMs on one iPhone. And I know a lot of people are really appreciating that ability.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
I think that's a big deal. I think it's mostly outside the US where countries are much closer together, where they have, let's just say Australia and New Zealand. You know, they have two different carriers, but they probably go each other's island quite a bit. And then we got Europe. I don't know how that works, Dave. Do you got different carriers if you go from Ireland down to UK? And
we
to
do,
Europe?
But we do have, they have got rid of roaming in the EU now. So I can go for up to 90 days. I can go anywhere and not pay roaming charges.
Nice.
That's good. I think all right, my wish list for 2019 for Apple, wish list. So none of this has to be accurate or even realistic. I would love a sub-$100 Air HomePod something or other.
Good luck with that.
I know. It's my wish list. I can have it.
You know, back to make that one next year, probably.
Wouldn't that be great? Just a $99 HomePod something. It's a home hub for your automations. It's a speaker. You know, it doesn't have to be extraordinarily amazing, but it'll sound decent. And it'll have Siri. And I've got to say, as much as I use Siri, sometimes being able to shout to the room, "Yo, Siri, do this thing," instead of having to make sure my watch is on and raised or having to pull my phone out and make sure that it doesn't think it's face down or in my pocket. It's just convenient. So that would be nice. I would also love to see the MacBook lineup just cleaned up. Just, you know, forget about all we were talking about before with upgrading the storage. We all know that should happen, but just simplify it. You've got a Pro, you've got an Air, and you've got a cheaper non-Air whatever. I don't care if it's the previous generation Air. I don't care what it is. But if you've got to have three, just have three. Don't have this touch bar, non-touch bar Air with, or a Pro with two sizes, and then you've got the Retina MacBook and the MacBook Air. Simplify it. That would be great. iPads. I'm wishing that this year, everyone who opens up their new iPad Pros will not find a bent unit and that not tell them to ignore it or pay for the replacement themselves, because that's just horrible.
The big gate.
Yeah, that's one 2018 story we forgot to mention, is all the bent Pros. That was crazy. I honestly don't really have any wishes for the iPad. You know, find the way it is. If they want to upgrade it again, great, but I wouldn't be shocked if they don't do much with it, because they put so much into the redesign last year, and the processors in there are so good already. I don't know that they really have to do anything massive again.
I think it's really a software game now.
Yeah, exactly. And that would be my other wish, is not necessarily unify macOS and iOS, but iOS has to have more features that will make it a computer replacement. I mean, as we've all said right now, it's just not. There's no way around it. As for the phones, I really do wish they would come out with a smaller, cheaper device, even a bigger, cheaper device. Like I wouldn't mind, you know, a 4.7 inch screen. That's what my 7 is right now, and I like it. If I could have a phone with a 4.7 inch screen and no bezels, that would be a wonderful size. I'd love that.
Please do that, Apple.
Awesome. So in screen fingerprint reading would be great. If they have to put the fingerprint reader on the back, I could live with it. I thought with the iPhone X, I thought that, you know, it wouldn't have surprised me if they'd taken their Apple logo, replaced that with a Touch ID sensor. That would have made a lot of sense. I know back-facing Touch ID isn't the best, but if Apple they can't get the in-screen stuff to work, then you just do something. That'd be good. I don't think they will. You know, prediction there, they will not do that at all. But it'd be good. What am I missing? Any other? Oh, I can't really think of anything that I would wish for on the Apple Watch apart from, I don't even know how they would do this. I wish there were a way to charge the watch overnight and or have a good enough battery that I wouldn't have to, without having to have it on a charger. Because what I'd really like to do is use it for sleep tracking.
Yeah.
And just not worry about it. So it would be great if they could have a week-long battery or a
super fast charge.
Yeah, like if you could charge it for half an hour while you're in the shower or something, I would take that. That'd be great. But some way, basically, that you could wear the watch more often than right now, because almost everyone charges theirs overnight. And if you don't, you charge it in the morning. And I don't like to do that because I miss out on, you know, I go up and down the stairs a lot. I get two or three stand hours in the morning, and I'd miss out on all that if it were charging. So I'd love a way to be able to use the watch overnight as well as during the day. And as Dave said, super fast charging would be definitely a great option, or possibly some form of the wireless charging tech that we started to see hints of the last couple of years. Not from Apple, but companies.
The thought of these wireless beams just charging something, burning my skin or something.
Well, and the that's my problem, is I can't use the Apple Watch overnight and then have enough time to charge it in the morning. Mm-hmm. And even if I can, I have to remember to grab the thing on my way out the door.
Right.
Now with the Dot Watch that I have, I've had it on my wrist, except for when I shower, because it's not waterproof, for about 12 days. And let me tell you what my battery is. My battery is at 50%.
Wow.
I can use that for my alarm. It's much quicker in terms of telling the time. You know, you have to count vibrations on the Apple Watch, no matter what mode you use. I hit one button and I can tell you that it is 8:53 Eastern time right now.
Is it really
faster? But to get back to my original point, sorry, I got sidetracked. That's the one of the things that's missing is the lack of ability to have the battery last long enough so that I can use it overnight and then get to a charging source, you know, that'll charge it quick. I mean, yeah, even if you could charge it in half an hour, that would still be a major step up, you know, because you still got to remember to grab it. But, you know, they could figure that out, too. They could say, well, you can put your phone on a tether, so as soon as you walk away, out of your Wi-Fi network range or out of Bluetooth range, might not be fast enough, but you know, you'll get an alert. Hey, you left your watch behind. Yeah. I guess that would be one way to offset it.
And that's an interesting point too. Even if you care not at all for sleep tracking, I've used the watch a couple times for a vibrating wake up alarm, and it is the best thing. I love that. It's whether you're hard of hearing or not, it doesn't matter. It's a nice, gentle way to wake up. You can't miss it. It's a lot harder to snooze it because you can't just whack a plastic alarm clock and go back to sleep. So I really do enjoy that too. And I do wish I could do that with the watch.
Yeah. I've tried sleep tracking and I haven't found it accurate. So I don't know if they need better sensors or.
I found it pretty accurate. There's a couple apps I've tried that worked pretty well.
Because I've heard a couple of other people say they've found it and they use the app that they suggest. And it's like, you were asleep the entire time. It's like, no, I know I wasn't. I'm a bit sure. I have one other crazy one. I kind of want Tim Cook's toaster fridge. Which is to say, I would love if I could pull the screen off my Mac and it just turns into an iPad. So it's kind of borrowing Microsoft's kind of thing.
Surface,
sense. Yeah. That like, but that's, I think that'd be great. Like to flip the, you know, stick the screen on. I have my keyboard. I have my full on Mac. Whip off the screen and, you know, I can go into my sort of tablet iPad mode and watch Netflix.
And I'd be happy enough if they made iOS computer-esque enough to use from day to day. You know, I don't mind plugging an iPad or an iPhone into a dock of some kind or using a wireless keyboard. But just it's not there right now. And I do have to agree though, when I saw the Surface for the first time and I saw how the screen can just come right off and then you've got a full-blown tablet and then you can pop it back on and you've got a full-blown laptop. It's because Windows does enough touch that it can be used as a tablet and enough, well, standard Windows that it can be used as a computer. And iOS isn't there because macOS and iOS were designed differently, whereas Windows kind of approached it from, you know, let's enable touch on Windows, but keep Windows. And Apple didn't do that. So now they're kind of trying to figure out, I hope they're trying to figure out how to do it. And they're not just going to, again, double down and say, nope, iOS is the way it is and macOS is the way it is and buy both if you want both. Yeah. I hope they don't do that.
Exactly. Cool. Any last calls for wild hopes or shall we move on?
I predict that this segment's over.
Thank you, Scott.
And now somebody will say something to make my prediction incorrect, I think.
So, also... No.
Exactly.
Okay, we will move on to our bonus topic. I gave you each a piece of homework to give us a recommendation, something. It could be a TV show, it could be a podcast, it could be a movie, something that you want the world to know about. Thomas, we'll go to you. You haven't said anything for a while.
Well, yeah, you know, I love nostalgia shows and science fiction a lot. So the two that I really enjoyed this year is, one of them is Netflix. The other one is CBS. One is, Lost in Space. And the other one is my Star Trek Discovery. Absolutely love them. So if you're a big Star Trek fan and love the, how things roll in from other shows, it's definitely worth watching.
Cool. I think they might both be Netflix where I am, but I'm not sure. Cool. They're both on my list, actually, but I haven't got to them yet. Great stuff. Tyler?
Oh, man. I really don't watch much TV. That's a really good question.
Didn't do your homework.
I really, you know, I mean, a few good movies this year. Black Panther, which I found Netflix with audio description.
Yep,
that was good. I saw in the theater last time I went to the theater. I saw Boy Erased. That was a pretty good one. One that the theater claimed to have indescriptive, but when I actually got to the theater and put the headset on, it didn't work.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, we've all been there.
Which is always awful. But the movie itself was good. The only other one, Night School with Kevin Hart. I like that one too.
Cool. Scott?
I'm going to go with a podcast just to be a little different. And that podcast is called The Snowplow Show. It's not about snowplows, though. It is a podcast where a guy who's, what is he, 44, 45, something like that. All he does is make prank phone calls to people. That's the whole podcast. And there's some really good ones. Like one of the holiday episodes, he looked up a mall directory and he was calling different stores and saying he was Santa in the mall and that people, that he needed various things. Like he called a clothes store and said, yeah, you have red pants. And they say, yeah. And I was like, well, I need you to come bring me a brand new pair of pants because I crafted mine and the kids are sitting on my lap and it's really awkward. Stuff like that. And
is it like Friday Night Pranks?
I mean, some of it is, you know, it's kind of hit or miss. You know, you can't hit them out of the park every single call, but that was my find in 2018 that I find very entertaining.
I will be checking that out, I think. Alex, what you got for us?
Oh, man. You know, I got this assignment from Dave and I still haven't figured out what I want to say because there are so many great things, but what you consider great is so dependent on who you are and what you like. I'm going to cheat a little bit and I'm actually going to say, if you don't do a whole lot of podcasts, I very much encourage you to do a whole lot of podcasts. There are podcasts on everything you can possibly imagine. I can think right now, I listen to ones on astronomy and ones on acoustic guitars and ones on movie reviews and, you know, technology. And there are so many different things out there that if you're listening to this, obviously, you know what a podcast is. But if you're listening to it on the website and you're kind of, you know, you listen to ours, but you don't really do much else with them, there are true gems out there. And there are a lot of people nowadays that their podcasts are so popular, even if they're not famous already, they're making their living on, you know, through Patreon and ads. So podcasting is huge. And if you're not really into it, I'd encourage you to look more into that. If I had to give one or two or 20, one podcast pretty good called the Applevis podcast. I definitely encourage you to follow that one.
Do that. Come on.
Let's see. Let's go with ones I found in 2018 only. I think the one that I've enjoyed the most this year is called The Brain Food Show. And if you're on YouTube a lot, which is also something I got into a lot in 2018, YouTube is awesome. But there's a YouTube channel called Today I Found Out, and they're pretty popular. They've also got a few other biographics and quick facts and a couple other channels, but they do a podcast. It's called The Brain Food Show. And it's just two guys going back and forth and talking about stuff they researched. And what I like about it is it's informal. It's not both of them reading a script. It's just basically two guys chatting about awesome stuff they learned about and they want you to know about it too. But it's not so off the cuff that they don't do the research. They look into things really extensively, so you can pretty confidently trust what they say. You know, it's not going to be something they found on a tabloid website that they're repeating. You know, they do their homework a lot. So it's informal. It's just really enjoyable to hear them talk to each other, and you learn a ton about a lot of really cool stuff. You know, they do everything from space to computers to Christmas traditions. You know, they've done a bunch of different things. Brain Food Show, check them out. I have so many other podcasts that I really enjoy, but I'm going to stick with them. And I would just encourage you to look more into podcasts in general if you haven't already, because there's a lot out there that you don't even know you're missing.
Yeah, definitely agree with that, actually. I'm buried in podcasts at this stage of so many. I'm going to give you a podcast and a TV show. My podcast is sort of along the same lines as your one, Alex, actually, but it's called No Such Thing as a Fish. And it is made, I don't know, do you guys know the TV show QI? Has that made it over to the States at all?
Not that I've heard of.
So it's kind of a show about facts, basically, just strange and interesting facts. These guys originally were the sort of the people behind the show, but now they have their own podcast. The people behind the show have their own weekly podcast. So there's four of them and they go around and each of them will bring a fact to the table, but then they go off on crazy tangents and facts off facts. And they're all kind of comedians as well.
What platform are you watching that show?
It's on Netflix over here. I don't know if it's on Netflix in the States. So that's QI is the TV show and it's going years and years. But the podcast I discovered this year called No Such Thing as a Fish. And it's really cool. The TV show I'm going to give you is, it's actually an Irish TV show, but it's by a British company called Channel 4. And it's called Derry Girls. So Derry being the place, D-E-R-R-Y, Derry Girls.
That's different from what I was picturing. So continue.
If you can understand their accents, because they got these cool Northern Irish accents that apparently some people need subtitles to understand. But if you can get past that, it is hilarious. It's just about, it's set in like a sad time. It is set during the Troubles, as they're called in Northern Ireland, when there was conflict. But it's very much a comedy about kind of, you know, teenagers growing up in that era in the early 90s. Amazing soundtrack if, like me, you're a 90s person. And it's, so it's just gone international on Netflix as well. So apparently it's doing really well over stateside. So check that guy out. And I think that is going to do it for us. It's been a fun podcast, guys. Thanks so much for joining me. So Alex, Thomas, Scott, and Tyler, thanks so much for joining me for this podcast.
Happy to be here.
Yep. Thank you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody. I'll see you next
time. Happy New Year. Great to be here.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the AppleVis Extra. To learn more about us, visit our website at www.applevis.com. Follow us on Twitter @AppleVis and like us on Facebook.